Thank you, Randy. When Pastor was going to be gone, I told him that what I had was a combination of looking at the 103rd Psalm and our testimony. In March last spring, I gave this the day before, the week before we left New Zealand. It was a combination of our testimony and this study. This morning, we're going to look at 103rd Psalm. If you turn to 103rd Psalm, and as you turn there, it is interesting that since 1525, over 500 years ago, many hymns have been written based on 103rd Psalms. Count Your Many Blessings, one of them. They say that perhaps only the 23rd Psalm has inspired more hymns than the 103rd Psalm. Cindy and I are in this fighter verse memorized course. And when it comes to the 103rd Psalm, I was stumped. I thought maybe a study on it might help. A 103rd Psalm is pure praise from start to finish. Eternal praise. It is gospel praise. It is full of truth. Some say it is the Old Testament's anticipation to the book of Romans. 103rd Psalms is pure worship. There's no history or historical circumstances in it. It's not written to a certain event or at a certain time or at a certain occasion. There's no one dying. There's no one's birth. You could say it is universally applicable. For the Christian, it is a focus of life. It is true north. There's no mention of enemies or foes or threats. There are no requests, no complaints, no petitions. I think it wouldn't get too far as a country song. It's just pure worship. No clouds on the horizon, no notes of disappointment, and no lines of sadness. It's all joyous, all thankful. It's overflowing praise. And you know what? It is personal. It is a psalm written only for believers. In verses, if you look down across there, you look at verses 11, 13, 17, and 18. In verse 11, 13, and 17, it says, "For those who fear the Lord." In verse 18, it says, "Those who keep his commandments." This psalm is written for believers. They say that David most likely was the author, but you can't be sure. Some say it is David in his old age. Can't be sure about that. But you can be sure about old age being the best time to praise the Lord. Why? From experience. Because you have the longest, richest experience of divine power. You have blessing, providence, favor. The older we grow, the more of God we experience. We worship the I Am, absolute reality. He's created all of our reality. He is consistent. He is independent. He is sovereign. He is truth. He is love. He is light. He is life. He is beauty. He is perfection. He is holiness. He's worthy of worship. He is Yahweh. He's also the Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm has three parts. First is the internal call. The first five verses 1 to 5, and that is where worship starts, in the soul. And it is only as loud, this worship is only as loud as one's knowledge of God. The more clutter and sin in our lives, the more difficult it is for the soul to worship the Lord. This is from a soul that has a deep knowledge of God and a love for what is holy and pure. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's no need for flashing lights, smoke, bubbles, praise band, just heart worship. How many times have you found yourself humming or singing a hymn during the day, during the week? You know what that is? That is the heart desiring to worship. Let's look at verse 1 of the 103rd Psalm. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. There's something singular about that. It is all about him and about none other. It's all about your faculties. It's internally motivated. It's not motivated by anything in our life, a death, love, loneliness, joy. It's a heart in gratitude for salvation. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget none of his benefits. This is a command. This is a command to your soul to note every benefit from God. Every benefit. Catalog every grace, every mercy, every act, every provision, every protection, every kindness, every expression of love, every providence. Remember the song, count your many blessings. That song came from here. In Deuteronomy 8, we are warned, do not forget the Lord, don't forget his benefits, or you are going to perish. We are to live with constant listing and speaking of the Lord's benefits. Are we up to speed with that today? It's what, 11 o'clock this morning, and I will bet we're already behind. Probably. Way behind. We've already been forgiven today. You've already been protected and preserved today. You've already been enlightened. You've been encouraged. You've been blessed. Remember those benefits? They come at us non-stop. Like trying to get a drink from the fire hydrant. He has given us a list. In Psalm 103, he's given us a list to start with. You see verse 3? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, forgives all iniquities. How stunning is that? The unbelievable grace. Yeah, forgiven is big, but it's bigger than that. Not only forgiven, but the sin is forgotten. In Isaiah 43, he forgets them. He doesn't ever remember them. The first way of God's gifts to the patient sinner is is salvation, the door to all of the treasure houses. This is the beginning. First gospel statement, good news, forgiven. Good news is not about a happy life. It's not about having purpose in life. It's not about being fulfilled. It's not about giving you what you want. The good news is the forgiveness of sin by which you escape hell. And there you enter heaven. Let your thanks begin. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Again today, I am forgiven. And then he heals all your diseases. What about that heart disease? What about that colon cancer? What about that collapsed lung? To what I would answer, in due time. In due time. In 1977, a 29-year-old lady stood right here in front of this church. She was a mother of two little boys. She was fighting cancer for 2 years, mastectomy, radiation, chemotherapy. And she asked the pastor for some time to speak to the church. She got up in front of the congregation. She thanked them all for the prayers, for all the meals, all the babysitting, and the visits. A couple years prior, she was a Kansas Farm Bureau Queen, which meant they flew her all over the state to the countywide meetings, encouraging young people to get involved in and share the farmer's story, promoting rural life in Kansas. But that year, she was not at the convention. They came to her hospital room. Many of them filled the place with flowers. But this Sunday morning in June, she was in front of the congregation, thanking them, but saying, "I am healed." She said, "Oh, I know I'm going to die, but I am healed. And God will have a Christian lady to raise my boys. My boys will need a Christian mother." She was my wife of 13 years. Those little boys only know and remember Cindy as mom. The Christian that young mother had asked the church to pray for. That physically healing will come. For the time being, there is a bigger, brighter healing out there. Stay with me here. When our iniquities were forgiven, some diseases of our soul were on steroids. The diseases of our soul, talking about pride, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the hatred, the rebellion against him, all subject to eradication. The disease of the soul is healed, and that is real, and that is bigger than anything physical. By the time the following spring come around, that lady that all the people of the church were praying for, the lady that three of the local pastors knew, Pastor Colall, Pastor Gillum, Pastor Nickel, knew well. She's a lady who had already experienced a broad spectrum of life. She was married. She had delivered a stillborn little boy. She was a lieutenant colonel in the Navy with a bouncing baby girl. She had absorbed the body blow of a farm accident, taking her 20-year-old some husband. That was the lady the dying girl and her church were praying for. Only God knew. Only God knew. She was a busy lady. She'd started a singles group involving several churches. Being an officer in the Navy Reserves, speaking and singing across 3 states, Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, with the Christian businesswomen. Only God knew that 40 years later, 40 years later, after a round of mercury poisoning, which left 5 miscarriages in their wake, and 8 years in a wheelchair, God knew, would have known, she would walk into that special little church in New Zealand and say, next Sunday is our 40th wedding anniversary. They know her as Cindy from Pokokoi or Cindy from Kansas. I told Pastor this would be a testimony as well as a look at 103rd Psalms. I know I was the guy with the broken back, spent months in a body cast. The guy the helicopter picked up along the side of the road, all smashed up. The one who was to have an appendicitis operation, it was colon cancer. The morning it was hard to wake up, I was drugged to the ER and it was a heart attack. The one that they call the widow maker. Then there was a guy with a collapsed lung pushing your wheelchair. It's been a grand old time. Look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Redeemed from destruction? That is your salvation. That is your redemption. And with that is the resurrection, your resurrection. There is the healing from the collapsed lung. That is out there, and it is sure. The God who cannot lie, who keeps his covenants, who has the power to do all he says, will take care of that. Look at verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Talk about the satisfied life, the sanctified, blessed life is a satisfied life. Speaking of that, 200-mile-an-hour eagle. Have any of you seen the eagle we have here around Beverly? I haven't seen it yet. I've seen pictures of it. Tracy's got pictures of it. Nathan had pictures of it. But in Isaiah 40, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the first call to worship is internal. Then in verse 6, it starts being external. These first 5 verses are yours. These first 5 verses, you own them. No one controls them. You do. We're going to move fast through the rest of the chapter. It's not because it's less important, but I would say you have less control. In the remaining 17 verses there, in the 5 that we looked at, are more out of your control. You could get along. If we looked at each verse, it'd take a little while. I remember the time that Cindy and I were in attendance with Dr. DeHaan. You remember that, Marilyn? He said somebody got up and left while he's giving his talk. And he said, hey, where do you think you're going? And the guy said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, why didn't you get the haircut before you come to the meeting? He said, I didn't need it then. So we'll shorten this up. We'll look at these last, this external thing. Now you are not talking to your own soul. We're talking now what God has done. Now we talk about what he does. He does for all who come to him. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice. How can that be? Do you know, this is the riddle of the Old Testament. The riddle of the Old Testament was, how can a God provide compassion and righteousness to sinners and still be just? How can he be a just God and provide that to sinners? Can he give us mercy and grace and forgiveness? He only because he punished Christ in our place. The only history in this entire psalm in Moses in verse 7. You see that there. And then more reasons to bless the Lord in verse 8. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, love. Verse 9, he will not keep finding fault with us. You know something? He is not your enemy. He is not our enemy. We can come to one of the most precious verses then anywhere in the scripture. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. How big is that one? Nor punished us according to our iniquities. If that verse were not true, there would not be one smiling face looking at the truth of hell. We should be destroyed except he put our iniquity on Christ. There is a point where every life ever conceived, every life ever conceived meets at one point. And that's a point where it is heaven or hell. Verse 11. For as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Dan was talking about space and time, and the National Aeronautics of Space thinks that they know where the edge of the universe is. And they say traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, or 299,792 kilometers a second, you could reach the edge of the known universe in 225 trillion years. I like to know who measured that. But as far, it says here, as far as the high as the heavens are above the earth, is his love to those who fear him. 225 trillion years. It's a perfect way to illustrate his love for us in an infinite way. Look at verse 12. It illustrates how far he has removed our transgression from us. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? That's infinite. A line going in two opposite directions. Why such love? Verse 13. Because he's our Father. He gets it. Verse 14. He knows our frame. See it there? Verse 15. Our days are like grass or the flower. Verse 16. The wind comes and takes it out. Another one of those timeless things in verse 17. God's mercy and God's covenant, that is real. And it's everlasting. And you know what? You can take that to the bank. And there is a final call. First, it's the eternal call. Then it's the external call. Now, it's a universal call. Verses 19 through 22. His throne is in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. His angels, they are strong, they are obedient, they're serving, they're worshiping, and they are his. His hosts, verse 21, that's based on Deuteronomy 4:19. This is the sun, the moon, the stars. In other words, all the created universe here is referred to as his hosts. So all creation is called to praise. First, it's eternal, then it's external, then it's the creation. It starts with you. It starts with you and your soul, and then it builds. You see, it gets bigger. All his works, And then it builds again. It gets bigger. All his creation. Then it ends. Where? Verse 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Complete circle. It starts with you individually. It ends with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That means let it begin with you. Let it begin with me. There's another one of these psalms, the Psalms 103 songs, that the words of this hymn, we will use them as a benediction this morning, and then Gary can close us in prayer. But as we'll come up, we'll do this page, whatever it is. Can't even find it. 223 in your hymn book. The guy that wrote this book was a lawyer, and this song was a lawyer and a businessman in Chicago. His wife Annie and five children, his son had died in 71. He lost a lot of his business in the Chicago fire. In November 21st, his wife and daughters were traveling across to Europe in a French ocean liner. Crossing the Atlantic, Annie and her four daughters aboard. 4 days into the trip, the ocean liner collided with another ship. She brought her four children to the deck. She prayed that God would spare them, if his will, or make them willing to endure whatever awaited them. In 12 minutes, the ship went under. Passengers had gone. Days later, a sailor spotted a woman floating on a piece of wreckage. It was Anna. She was alive. She was taken to Wales. She wired her husband and said, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" She told us, surviving pastor, "God gave me four daughters. Now they have been taken from me, and someday I will understand why." Mr. Spafford booked the next available flight to join his wife. 4 days out, the captain of the ship called Mr. Spafford to his cabin. He says, "We are over the place where your children went down." That, he say, is when he wrote, "It is well with my soul, when peace like a river attendeth a way." Another one of the songs inspired by the 103rd Psalm.